Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Friday morning. Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me in about 30 minutes. I want to begin today's radio broadcast with the thought of what is taking place in the facial recognition technology. And I want to share with you some of the companies behind the facial recognition technology. Now, for those of you who already know this, you're miles ahead in your thinking. You know that over in China, they have purchased millions of cameras and have connected a very sophisticated facial recognition technology. They have a network of being able to follow the people within their cities, whatever cities they might be, and they are perfecting this system of facial recognition, which means they could actually look back a week ago in someone's life and track their steps of where they were. And we are talking not about the, you know, the futuristic Big Brother, 1984. We're talking about a very real sophisticated system that watches over the inhabitants. Now, everything that we know about right now, everything on the internet, everything we talk about, you and I have to understand, we are all, the most intelligent among us are way behind what already does exist, whether it is spyware from heaven and satellites technology or other technologies we're not even aware of yet that eventually will be ministered to the masses. And little by little, before you know it, you're going to wake up one day, we all are, and we're going to realize something, that this construct has been being built all around us most of our lives, and it is near perfection. Here is a little conversation that took place, and it's a transcript between two people, and they're talking about facial recognition technology is becoming more common here in the U.S., as anyone who uses Facebook or an iPhone 10 knows, but it's far more widespread in China. So we take a look in this week's All Tech Considered, and here it is. This is a soundbite of Ulrich Schnaus. Nothing happens in June. So, Kelly, these are a couple of people here. I'm going to name their names. Here's their conversation, very real time. In China, facial recognition technology is used for lots of things, from ride hailing and shopping to surveillance. NPR's Rob Schmitz takes us on a tour of the Chinese companies developing this technology. And now Rob Schmitz in Byline comes on and he says, when I take out my microphone at the Beijing headquarters of SenseTime, China's largest artificial intelligence company, employee Catherine Zhu looks nervous. Now, that company, again, is SenseTime, S-E-N-S-E, Time. And then Catherine Zhu says, I'm a little scared, laughter. Schmitz goes on to say, you're scared? You have cameras all over this room, and you're scared of the microphone? Laughter. Zhu says, a little bit. Schmitz comes back, actually, I'm a little scared, too. Dozens of cameras are pointed at me on a big screen in SenseTime's showroom. My face is covered with lines that detect my age, identity, and my attractiveness score. It gave me a 98 on my attractiveness. Zhu, smiling, says, yes. Schmitz goes on, and is that a high score or is that a low score? Zhu says, it's a very high score. Schmitz says, it's a very high score. Now, a moment later, Catherine, who scored a 99 and didn't feign surprise at all, whispers that everyone receives a high attractiveness score. This is a marketing gimmick that flatters you so you'll buy merchandise based on data gleaned from your face. In my case, the machine determined that I'd likely buy a cheap brand of Chinese grain alcohol. Thanks, machine. This is just one way SenseTime uses facial recognition technology. The other starts with a camera pointed at a street. What are we looking at here? Now, Qian Chen chimes in and says, real-time video surveillance system. Actually, well, Schmitz says, SenseTime AI researcher Qian Chen shows me video of the street below. Each car and person is surrounded by a square that displays information like a car's model and license plate and a person's gender and clothing. Qian says if their data is in the system, it could figure out who they are. SenseTime's Jun Jin says the company sells these applications to Chinese police. Jun Jin says, we have been working with about, 40 public security bureaus, and they've been working on this, leveling up the city's security level. Schmitz says, state surveillance makes up a third of SenseTime's $3 billion business, says Jin. Megvii, China's second largest AI company. Again, that is Megvii, M-E-G-V-I-I. China's second largest AI company serves the government, too. Vice President Xi Yinan. Now, Xi Yinan chimes in and says, through an interpreter, the government is pushing the need for this technology from the top so companies don't have big obstacles in making it happen. In America, people are too busy discussing how they should use it. Schmitz says, China's government has laid out goals to build an artificial intelligence industry worth nearly $150 billion by 2030, much of it to enhance domestic security. When I question how Chinese police will use Megvii's technology, Xi says there are limitations. And he says through an interpreter again, we just provide the government the technology and they do their job with it. Cameras are set in China at 2.8 meters above the ground. That means they won't be able to capture human faces. That's a rule. Chinese citizens know that, so they don't think about it too much. Schmitz went in and said, Ji Feng thinks about it all the time. He's a poet and an activist who police escort out of Beijing each year on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre and on World Human Rights Day. Ji says, after a fellow activist visited his home recently, police used facial recognition cameras to identify him, inform his landlord, who then threatened to kick him out of his apartment. Ji Feng, through an interpreter, says this, the government's using this technology to catch people who are considered threats to social stability. Are they using it to catch thieves? Yes, but it's mostly used to maintain stability. Schmitz said, Megvii's Xi Yinan insists China is using its technology to keep cities safe. When I ask him what he'd think if foreign governments used his technology to crack down on its citizens, he quotes Google's founders. And here's what Xi said. Our founders also think don't be evil is the number one principle. If a government is using it to control locals, we'd think twice about doing business with them. Our principle is to empower humans, not to control them. Well, Schmitz goes on to say, plus, Z says, the algorithm capacity of the fastest servers isn't enough to support data from thousands of cameras capturing hundreds of millions of people at any given time. But it can give you a high score on your attractiveness. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Beijing. So what is the conversation all about? Well, it's a reality that's going on all over the world. It's facial recognition, where every human being on the planet is being watched. It is definitely Big Brother. And when you step back and you really think about what's going on in our world today, we've been talking about a global currency without any cash or notes or coins, but a digitized currency. We've been talking about a world government. We've been talking about Babylon. We're talking about doing business with Babylon, the luxurious Babylon, the Babylon that will make people rich all over the world who do business with her. The only catch is you've got to have Babylon's mark. You have to have the mark of the beast that Babylon rides. Now, there was an old movie, and again, this is Hollywood putting it out for everybody to see. And there was another program, it was a nightly show, I think, or played once a week, a series where there was an investigator, and they showed all this facial recognition technology, and this was years ago. And so the movie is called The Matrix, and I don't recommend anybody going and getting The Matrix. There are scenes in there I wouldn't recommend. However, many, many years ago when it came out and everybody was in the rave and we looked at it, it's all about getting unplugged. And when you and I begin to realize how deeply we have been brought in, or in other words, how advanced the construct that is being built around the planet and all the people on the earth, we realize that we're kind of getting a little bit nervous because we're so involved in it. And in other words, the construct is being built around us. And Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke that like a snare, it will come upon the whole earth and they will not escape. That's why when we hear the instruction out of Revelation 18, come out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of her sins and of her plagues, God is calling his people out of something that would create a snare. And now you and I are watching what's going on around us. It's no longer some futuristic sci-fi television program like The Matrix, but it is an actual reality that is taking place. And it's happening in major companies around the world. The globalist, not the sovereign United States of America, whatever of that really remains, but the reality of the global construct of control over the masses. And again, how will they control the masses? What better way than reducing the population, at least cutting it in half, which the book of Revelation confirms that there will be half the population of the planet completely decimated by a World War II and the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6, who have already left the gate and are writing, and lots of people have been dying through all kinds of different mechanisms of cancer and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. There is a population reduction through abortion. There is population reduction through homosexuality, lesbianism. There's no procreation in it. And so we live in a world where we're watching this happen. The only thing is you and I are in it. And I want to share out of the words of Jesus Christ, out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Listen very carefully to the Lord speaking to his disciples 2,000 years ago and to you and I today, because his words are timeless. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. May the Holy Spirit anointing come on this word right now as it's going through the airwaves. Verse 18, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But now that the kings of the earth and the Gentile nations, all those people worshiping the beast, remember, they're all going to worship the beast. Well, some are going to be brought as a testimony against them, right? Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And now here it is. And you shall be hated. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ, a real disciple. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But here's the secret. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, the definition of the word endure is hupomino. And we've looked at this word before. And what it means is to stay under. It means to remain or to undergo or bear a trial, to have fortitude, to persevere, to take patiently all suffering. Okay? This is the Greek word for he who shall endure. And there are other admonitions in Scripture that tell us about enduring. And I want you to know, and this is what I believe the Holy Spirit has formulated in my mind for, you know, this conversation we've been having for several weeks now about Babylon and what's growing up around us and what we're in, that when we come out of it, we're probably going to be hated of all nations because we're not part of it, and not probably, we will be. But to have confidence in God and to remember that the only answer to this moment is our endurance. Right now, the world is flaunting the largest economy in the world. People are getting rich. There's luxury, delicacies everywhere. And oftentimes, the children of God are tempted to go and partake of it. Because to go in another direction in the present world order of things is to give up a lot of pleasure and a lot of, you know, luxury and a lot of, you know, wealth and delicacies. To go in the other direction, you seem a little strange. You're not going where everybody else is going. You're not treating life like everybody else is treating life. You're being coaxed in by prosperity gospels to get involved and get the best and go for the gusto and whatever is there, even at the expense of your holy walk with God. You're allowed to put your cross down in this new world order of things, in this Babylonian system that's already grown up all around us. You're allowed to put your cross down. You're allowed to, you know, just get your mind motivated for the things of the world. You're allowed to put Jesus kind of, integrate him where he can be. You know, a little bit of time for Jesus, a little bit of time for God. And, you know, you don't have to worry about purification, refinement, you know, because it's all done. The grace has already done it. So now just get in there and get the gusto and live within the new world order and get all the wealth and the delicacies and the luxuries that one could have. Because that's what's important. It's not important to be salt and light. It's not important to be a watchman. It's not important to raise up your voice like a trumpet and shout from the rooftops about the imminent danger and judgment upon the Babylonian system and a world that has offended God by their laws and their legislation. You know, we don't need to do that. We just need to get involved and be like it and get all the goodies that they're getting. And that's what you're growing up in. So to go in another direction, to go out into the wilderness and build a shack with some food and water and planting a garden, that's too hard. That's inconvenient. It's inconvenient for me to have to live with a bunch of other people that I go to church with. It's inconvenient for me when I could have my own 6,000 square foot home in a luxury neighborhood and lots of money from doing whatever I got to do to make it. You know, why inconvenience myself with getting generators or solar power or, you know, hooking things up and going out where there's ticks, fleas, frogs, and flies? You know, why do I need to inconvenience myself with not having all the, you know, air conditioning and heating and the snap of a button and microwaves? And, you know, why build rocket stoves? Why get food stored underground? Why take the time to put stuff in Mylar bags? Why take the time? We don't need to do that, right? That's inconsistent with the flow of the order of things today. But Jesus said, this time is coming, and there's going to be something about the life of my disciples that's going to create the world's hatred against them. And they're going to be held. And yet when they come before governors and kings, they're going to speak against what they're doing. They're going to speak against the new world order. They're going to speak against their godless ways, about their unrighteous laws that have been promoted, right? I would imagine that's what the Father's going to be speaking, because you're going to bear testimony against the world order and the Gentiles. And so, again, here it is. Folks, it's coming. It's here. As I said earlier, that all the components of the new world order, the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the beast, the false prophet, it's all here. It's just connecting those final parts. You're here at this time. How are you going to endure to the end? How are you going to endure? You've been enduring most of your life, but now comes the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. That's never been before and will never be again. Some people are going to die before this happens. I know that's true. And we need to understand that sometimes when people die, the Bible says in Isaiah that the righteous perish and no man takes it to heart that the righteous are taken to keep them from the evil that is to come. Some people, you know, in God's mercy, obviously God knows who can handle it and who can't handle it. And he just happens to know that there are some dear saints that will die to keep them from the evil that is to come. That's a biblical passage. That's in the Bible. It's in Isaiah. And I'll get you the exact address on that. But the righteous man perisheth it. No man takes it to heart that the righteous perish to keep him from the evil that is to come. But there's going to be a whole host of people alive and remaining that are going to go through this time. And many, unfortunately, are going to fall away. We've talked about that. Many are going to lose their love. Many are going to begin to betray one another, hate one another. Many are going to be offended and live in fear. And they're going to accept the mark of the beast. And then another multitude of manys are going to be purified through the great tribulation. They're going to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And then there will always be that remnant that will be spared the pressure of the great tribulation, because they've come to a place in their spiritual journey with Jesus that they're the overcomers, and that they, for one reason or another, because Revelation 14, there's no guile in their mouth, they're virgins in their heart, they have worked out a salvation, they put off the old man, they put on the new man, they're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, they are recognizing everything by the eyes of the Spirit, they have pure faith, they have grown in faith and trust in God. Well, there are going to be a people in the wilderness for 3.5 years that will not be touched by the great tribulation. But in either case, whether you're in the wilderness, in the tribulation, whether you're falling, it's all about endurance. It's all about getting to the other side. And let me just give you just a little taste of what the other side of this moment looks like. I know you know this, but the other side of this moment, the thing that we're running the race for, listen, any one of us can give up. Any one of us could throw in the towel. Any one of us could say, you know what? I don't believe this God stuff anymore. I don't believe this Bible stuff anymore. You've got friends around you and family that's already done that. You got a whole world around you that's saying that. And the pressure that the world is going to apply is going to get you to do the same thing. And I just put on the Omega Radio Network a sermon by Pastor David Wilkerson, The Tragedy of a Man Who Turns Back from His Faith, because it's going to happen. Many are going to turn back, and you and I have to be living in such a way that we will not be of those. But the fact of the matter remains that things are going to get so intense, or the temptation is going to get so strong, and because, please listen carefully on this one, a lack of carrying the cross and dying to self now will only empower our flesh, so that when big decisions are made, our flesh is going to have power to choose the wrong way. Got it. This is all about killing the flesh nature, the human nature, dying to self, getting our attitudes adjusted to the attitudes of Christ, the Beatitudes. We need to make sure we're following the instructions. Now, the glorious thing is on the other side of this moment. I just want to read out of Revelation chapter 22, and it says this. Here's where we need to get to, okay? Here's where we're going. Here's where Jesus in the book of Hebrews looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. Jesus looked beyond the cross, and you and I are going to have to follow Jesus and look beyond the persecution, the suffering, whatever may come. We have got to be able to see things in the distant future of what God has planned for us. It says in Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is glory on the other side of this story. There is glory like we can never comprehend. There is a reward for your righteousness. There is a reward for your faithfulness. There is a reward for enduring to the end. There is a reward for your love for God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. There is a reward for saying no to the delicacies of this world and a yes to the cross of Jesus Christ in this world. There is a future reward to the genuine saints of God, to the true overcomers who will endure to the end of what we have been entrusted with. God has brought us here for a reason. There's something on the inside of you that is called the can do. There is an anointing on the inside of you to enable you to go to the end. Be a wise virgin. Get your oil. Get your lamps ready to go, for the midnight season is coming upon the nations of the earth. The world has already been sucked into the vortex of what is evil and demonic, as an angel of light has led them into it. For no man or woman would willingly, for the most part, go into the chambers of death and hell and Satan and say, I'm a devil worshiper, but the angel of light would lead them in and say, oh, this is all good. But you and I know better, because we have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, we can see. My point today, we have to go through it. You just don't get zapped from the great tribulation to the glory. And there's so much more glory. There's so much more glory than just no curse. There's more glory than we've ever dreamed. There's a hallelujah in Revelation 19. There's a celebration. There's the economy of the kingdom of God that's going to overwhelm every particle in the universe. There's a time coming, there's not going to be any man-made surveillance, no more devils, no more evil spirits, no more false prophets, no more beasts, no more Babylon, no more mystery, no more godlessness. There's a universal eternal glory that is coming, whose weight is so great. And you know everything you're going through right now is for an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory. There is something for you that is so spiritually bliss that if you were to taste it right now, you would explode into a billion different pieces. You have tasted that the Lord is good. Everyone out there has been in the presence of God and experienced God's goodness. And he's entrusting to us right now the ability to go through. But he's warning us through his word. Get your ark ready. Prepare your heart. Prepare your soul, prepare your spirit, your body, prepare your mind. Get yourself ready for the battle. Get yourself ready for the battle, for you are going to contend with mighty forces. Those forces today might be called facial recognition, artificial intelligence, global technology, one world currency, one world court, one world government, one world this, one world that. Yes, the global one world order of things is coming. And we have to be ready. Everything for you and I today is about going through, enduring to the end, because there will be salvation. People want to explain that in so many different ways. It's very simple. We're about to face something that can kill us. I'm so sad that I have to do this right now, but I am. Did I ever tell you about the day on July 22nd, 2018, that I was hanging on the side of a mountain? The Teton Mountains, to be exact. That was 3 days from now. It was July 22nd. And I remember slipping on that snow at 10,000 feet, and I started to slide, and it was the most eerie feeling I've ever felt in my life. And I was able to stick my fingers in the snow and hold on. And because I held on and I continued to call out to the Lord, I was saved that day from certain death. But if I'd have just let go, if I'd have given up, wouldn't be here today. And I'm telling you right now that there's a can-do. There's a God in heaven that can sustain you. God is not asking you and I to go through this alone. He's giving us brothers and sisters. Community of believers will be all over this earth. I believe that with all my heart. And they're getting their relationships worked out right now. I believe God is going to put together that bartering system. I believe God's going to put together all kinds of great things, and his presence will be with us. And there, my dear friends, is the glory. 1,000 at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near our dwelling. We who dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you today?
I am doing well today, and it sounds like a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare for the way of the Lord. And I praise God. You know that God has given the giftings to Pastor Vincent to do this at this time, that we may truly and rightfully be prepared for the things that God is ready to accomplish on this earth. Thy kingdom come. And it's exciting. Really, it is exciting. It depends on how you're looking at it and from what angle you're looking at. But, you know, he gave us visions and dreams, he says in Joel, for the latter days. And there is someone who has had a vision that is so comparable to what you're saying, it's almost unbelievable. But this is the way the Lord confirms.
Okay.
May I read it?
Yeah, please do.
Last night while praying before I went to bed, the Lord gave me a vision that really rattled me. In the vision, I saw this land split into four parts, with each one under its own flag. Each region had terrible destruction, and many people were dead. As I looked over the destruction, I was crying, and the Lord asked me, "Why are you crying over the fall of Babylon? As a matter of fact, why have you been praying for the healing of Babylon?" In this vision, I didn't have an answer, and the Lord opened a scroll and started reading off the indictments against the country. But before each one, he clearly called the USA Babylon. The list was long and to the point, with such points as the killing of several generations of unborn children. Besides this charge, he added that these babies had been sacrificed to the god of self. The list also included greed, idolatry, pride, fornication, and many others, so many I could not even read them all. And as I looked at the list of charges, I was overwhelmed and broken by the fact that we live every day in a nation that is so far removed from God and in total opposition to the kingdom of God. Yet, we are comfortable here. We have become just like Lot living in Sodom. The prosperity that the nation offers us has blinded us from the evil that rules this land. We complain about how bad it is, but still stay attached to it with every ounce of strength we have. The Lord told me to look at the nation as he sees it, not through my eyes, but through His. And folks, we can only do that if we have the Holy Spirit. That's my input. Going on, I could not look too long before I had to agree and repent of loving Babylon. I was in love with Babylon and didn't even realize it. And once I repented, the Lord told me to prepare for the fall as time is running out. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of America. And Body of Christ, that's what New Wine Ministry and Omega Radio has been doing. We have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom and not the gospel of America. In fact, we have somewhat of many contradictions with those who keep saying, pray for the blessings of America, knowing better and knowing differently about the truth of the matter through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now he goes on to say, civil unrest will become commonplace in large cities first, but will spill over into the rural areas as well. So if you live in a rural area, it is an absolute protection, but the protection will be from the Lord, saith I. He goes on to say, natural disasters will stretch the resources of the nation to the breaking point, and the government will use this to take freedom away. Well, we're already seeing that. It's already happening in India. It is happening in China. It is happening in Sweden and Denmark and other places. He goes on to say, in this vision, there was a great wasteland that appeared to be in the center of the nation, where everything was wiped out, and I saw masses of people wandering without direction. They were dirty and ragged, almost dead, and there was no relief in sight. In Body of Christ, folks that are listening, Pastor Vincent had a number of these visions, and this is such a compliment to know that there is a true word being spoken, because we're supposed to do it by two or three witnesses. He goes on to say, most of you reading this think I'm crazy, I'm sure, but I must be faithful to share what I am given to share. And the Lord told me to cry from the mountaintops, to repent and seek the Lord now. We don't have any more time to seek after the things of this world. We must stop living like we have all the time in the world, and we must stop crying over the fall of Babylon and press into the kingdom. And then it goes on to say, yes, you have permission to post these emails to friends and groups, and I am speaking over Omega Radio with it.
Well, amen. What a great vision. And again, there are things to unpack there and to set in order within the vision. But as you're talking, these thoughts are coming to my spirit. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, where are we going? We're going to the glory. And you and I need to know, brothers and sisters, that God is the glory. God is our inheritance. You know, it's not about all the rewards in and of themselves. It's the rewarder that we are going to. We're going back to Father God. And what that means to me is that you're in this battle right now. You're going to endure this race. And what's going to happen when you win, okay, when you win, when you endure to the end, when you get through faithfully serving God, you need to know, and I'm not saying this is the absolute, but saints of old are watching us. They are cheering us on right now. I guarantee you there are a cloud of witnesses that are cheering on, and when there's an overcomer on this earth, every eye in the spiritual realm is watching, even angels. And you know, as they're cheering us on, they're going, there's a champion, there's an overcomer, there's a victor. Well, we will be met by angels and saints as we walk on the streets of gold leading to the glory God. And what I'm seeing is in days of Roman conquest, the Caesar or whoever would be marching like in a parade down a street, and the city streets would be lined up, and there would be all kinds of celebratory victory things. And each overcomer that endures this time is going to be brought into the dimension of spirit, where we will be marching. And imagine yourself marching down that street, being carried, and the saints of God and the angels of God welcoming you into the kingdom of glory. And that gold street that you're being marched down is bringing you to the castle of the great king. And there, seated in his most high position, you are brought back to him. What a glorious truth. Then, being received by God, we will ever be with the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, and the glory of the Holy Spirit. And we will go into an existence beyond our comprehension, but awesomely good. When Paul wrote in Romans that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, I think he had an epiphany of what it would be like for an overcomer. And I just feel like a shout, Patricia Joy, hallelujah. But some people want to, what they want the prize without running the race. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And unfortunately, there's a gospel being taught today that you don't have to run, you don't have to fight, you don't have to do any of these things, but the reward is there. Heaven is the reward. I used to believe that as an old Catholic boy, young Catholic boy, sinning like crazy, just having my own thoughts about God. But the true scripture says that we press, that we run, that we fight for the prize. And for us, that prize is the glory. And the glory is Papa.
You know, Papa and Christ, we're already there with him. Again, my favorite scripture, one of them. Ephesians 2:6, the word says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities of this world. Hallelujah. That means we can live above our circumstances because we fight from a place of victory. We are with Christ and he is with us. Jesus had made it possible for us on the cross to be seated with him right now. This isn't in the great by and by. This is in the now. Now, what is your faith? Do you believe the word of God? Now, if you're insistent to do this without any complications of doubt, it is time to see that position for you. And when you do, your life will change. You will be at peace, love will grow in your heart, and hope will be not deferred.
Patricia, do you remember the deacon, Stephen, and do you remember that Stephen was stoned in the book of Acts? Do you remember why he was stoned? Stephen was stoned not for being a good citizen of Babylon. Stephen was not stoned because he fit into the politically correct crowd. Why was Stephen stoned? Because in the book of Acts chapter 7, he preached a sermon and he ended it this way in verse 51. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before on the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He made sure that he didn't hold unforgiveness or bitterness towards them. Lay not this to their charge. But he was stoned for what reason? He told the truth, and then he rebuked their unbelief. If the Christian church today does not have that kind of confidence, and we could go on down the road with every other apostle that stood up and spoke the truth in love, but they did it in the way that God's people have been doing it from the beginning of time. You and I need to know that when we march into heaven being victorious, Stephen will be one of those witnesses cheering us on with the angels.
The scriptures tell us in the beginning of Ephesians that we should pray for that confidence to tell the truth and to speak the truth in love and not be fearful. So be encouraged today. You're not a victim of the changing circumstances of life or this world. You're a victor seated far above this world with Christ Jesus. He so lovingly gave his life so you can live abundantly and victoriously in this world right now, bringing glory to his name.
Well, hallelujah to that, Patricia. In other words, you're saying that we are to be bold as lions. Boldness of God. And remember in the book of Acts, that's exactly what they prayed for. God, give us boldness to be able to stand and be a true witness for the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 15 minutes. I'd like to open the telephone lines right now on this Friday morning. Give opportunity to anybody that would like to share some thoughts about what you're hearing today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And all you need to do to come into the broadcast is press 1 on your dial pad. And we would love to hear from the voice of many waters. Are you blessed? Are you ready to go? Are you preparing for the worst and yet looking to the best of times beyond the moment? Have we relayed this information properly to you? Have we presented something for you to go back to the Word of God with, where you can examine it, where you could pull it apart, where you could really get a clear picture of where we are? I personally believe the things that we've talked about for an entire generation, from David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, go all the way back, those big, wonderful names and so many others that warned of these days, we're now in them. And the construct is all around us, and it's about to close. And the Lord is calling by the Spirit. I believe we're hearing the sound, come out of her, my people. And when we do, are we prepared to know what to do? And if we are caught and brought before governors and kings, are we prepared there too? And if we are martyred for our faith, are we there too? Are we prepared? Whatever it is that we are going to have to go through, endurance is the key. For he who endures to the end shall be saved. The number again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'd love to bring you into the broadcast, Patricia.
Yes, another word of encouragement is in Philippians 4:13. Please listen, because in the scripture and the word of God is true life. It just explodes with abundance of life. And if you repeat it within your own being, if you let the spirit of truth come in and express it out of your mouth, it is like two-edged swords going out of your mouth. You can't see it in the spirit, does see it. But if you see in the spirit, you'll be able to understand the power of these words. And that's in Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You and I can do all things through him. Who's him? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. That's not how we got saved, but according to his own mercy, especially knowing the times we're in, by the washing of regeneration and a renewal of the Holy Spirit within us. It is an incredible time to be alive. It is an incredible time to stand on the Word of God with more knowledge and understanding.
Amen to that. Patricia, we just got a news flash right now from CBN News. Millions from the East Coast to the Midwest are bracing for deadly triple-digit heat indexes. Washington reports dangerously hot temperatures are scorching much of the nation and putting emergency officials on edge. In the nation's capital, the heat index, that is how hot it feels, that's what the heat index is, how hot it feels, will approach 115 degrees. In the coming hours, the National Weather Service expects more than 100 local heat records will be shattered. And get this, more of those will be at night as temperatures won't cool down below the upper 70s to 80s. From Chicago to Philadelphia and Charleston to Syracuse, triple-digit temperatures are expected the next few days, with heat indexes around 110 degrees, creating a potentially deadly situation. And, you know, this is where the power outages, where you have no air conditioning and you have none of that to sustain you, could be a disaster. Someone said here, actually, Dr. George Kipas at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, he said the heat is really something that can suffocate you. Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control, extreme heat kills more than 600 people each year. Now, cities like Chicago are activating extreme weather plans and asking citizens to look out for their neighbors. This is from the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, the lesbian mayor, by the way. This means, she said, that if you have a neighbor who is vulnerable, who is elderly, who is sick or otherwise infirm, please make a special effort to check on them over these next few days. The mayor also implores, don't leave your kids in the car. Well, thank you, Mrs. Mayor. Anyways, there are heat indexes. We've got a call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, very interesting subject this morning. I was just reading in the book of Jeremiah when the prophet spoke against the pastors. Woe, it says in the 23rd chapter, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. The glory of the Lord has departed from a lot of these churches, and they are still sitting there, the people are, and they are the ones that are going to turn around, and they're going to start persecuting the ones that are and chosen by God, the sons of God. They're going to hate us without a cause. I believe that, what you said earlier. And, you know, then for ourselves, for a little consolation to our own selves, it says in the Bible, and I'm not sure where this is, but it says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. You know, so we need to just endure to the end, all right. But we've got God on our side if we stay faithful and true to the Lord.
Well, amen, and thank you for that admonition. I'm kind of cracking up here. We don't have that problem of everybody speaking well of us. We're very happy about that. But, you know, Patricia and I were talking earlier today, and before we came on the radio broadcast, you know, I love making my wife laugh. I love it when Patricia is giggling. And we were – I forget what led us into this conversation, but I said, I gave her the scenario of somebody coming to our church and then someone asking them, well, how did your time with New Wine Ministries go? And the person says, well, I went there and I'm not sure if I'm saved, because this is somebody that was once saved, always saved. I'm not really sure whether I'm saved. I might be possessed by a lot of demons. The end of the world is coming and I'm supposed to be perfect. And I thought, that's why we have a smaller church. But when you look at it in its humorous form, I could see, you know, what people, you know, might think about that, Patricia Joy. But in its purest form, man, this is all about getting cleaned up before the Lord.
It sure is. But there's something else that I would like us to look at about the warmth that is coming upon this world, and it's getting warm everywhere, not just here. And research deeper than I keep having a hard time pronouncing it. Wikipedia.
That's right, Wikipedia. You
I've
did
always
good.
Had a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Reveals ample evidence that particles of metals, which reflect sunlight, have been injected into our atmosphere for decades in an attempt to control global warming and weather systems. And the effects of spraying massive amounts of aluminum into our environment are becoming too apparent to ignore, including barium. And this has been issued by the government for the last 15 years of global warming coming about. And I believe that everything has been done to make it come about, to produce it. And so what we are dealing with is much deeper than just hot weather coming upon us.
Oh, absolutely. And Kathy, that's kind of what I heard when you were ministering out of Jeremiah's book, that the pastors are not doing their job in the sense of not really equipping them and preparing them, because the ministry of a pastor, like the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, is to build up the body of Christ unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. I mean, that is it. And the pastors are keeping the body anemic and weak by not discipling into the fullness of Christ. Would you agree?
Amen. And it goes on in that same chapter on the fourth verse, and it's God is going to do this. It says, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And that is what God is establishing in an inner circle, you might say, of people. Because God is going to have his way, and man and this whole Babylonian empires, or whatever you want to call them, they will not persevere.
No, there's no way that they will. And yes, at the end of the day, Babylon will be completely and utterly destroyed. And we're about to walk through a moment. And I want to just, obviously, not to be a good guy or anything like that, but I do want to say that the bottom line at the end of everything, the true endurance and everything we've talked about, ladies and gentlemen, Christian men and women, those of you that are hearing, the big test, and this is a test, is going to be love from a pure heart is the end of the commandment. It is keeping ourselves in the love of God that is the key to everything. It does not matter. Nothing else matters. If love is lost, if the devil is able to persecute us to the degree that we become bitter, angry, resentful, we have to have a heart of a Stephen that's being persecuted. Say, Lord, lay not this to their charge. That kind of love, it has to be in us. Let's pray for the love of God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to baptize us in the agape love of God for our enemies, for our persecutors, for a world around us that is blaspheming God. It's okay to hate the sin, and it's definitely okay to cry out from the top of your housetop and get a trumpet in your hand and blow your trumpet as loud as you can. There's nothing wrong with that. You could speak the truth in love, and we need to do that. We're the only people on this planet that will ever be a voice of this kind of truth. And if we be silent in the realm of preaching the gospel and declaring this truth of what is and what is coming and what will be, we have failed our commission. There is a time to be silent. The prudent will keep silent in evil time. And there's something connected to that. But Patricia, we are an EMP away, an earthquake away. Adrian, we've got 30 seconds left in the broadcast. Go ahead and say some final words before we go this weekend.
One of the final words I would like to say is that in the New Testament, the Lord God Almighty commands us in his word that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And his commandments is to love not only him, but ourselves and others with a deep passion. And in Psalm 7, leave you with this, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you.
What a great scripture to go out. All right, we are finished. We're going to go to a weekend break, Shabbat Shalom. I want you to know that right now, Patricia Joy will be having her roundtable discussion. And immediately following that roundtable discussion, Pastor David Wilkerson is going to be preaching on the Omega Radio Network the awful consequences of backsliding. We want to wish each one of you a very healthy weekend. Do something with your family, the people you love. Spend quality time in sweet fellowship in the body of Yeshua. And thank God. Thank God for the opportunity that we all have. Keep your heads up. Be watchful, wise as serpents, gentle as doves. We'll see you Monday morning, Lord willing, right here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Shalom right now. OmegaRadio.org, the Bill of Rights.